Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Good evening. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. If you weren't here this morning, I encourage you to get the tape. Talked about the God. God's the God in your trials and in your tribulations. He's still God. So, thank God he's still God. Amen. Thank God he's still alive. Thank God he doesn't change. Thank God he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love how God moves, how God works. And to be honest with you, I don't know how long this service is gonna go, but I don't want to limit God. I don't want to get in the way of God. I don't want to hinder the Spirit of God. But as I was over in the portable, he only gave me two scriptures. But as you all know, that doesn't mean nothing in this church, because we've seen our pastor preach a whole long time off of one scripture. So having two scriptures doesn't mean nothing. However, I know that in our bodies we're tired, but in our spirits we're alive. Got to learn to separate the two. It's okay to be tired in your body because our spirit's alive. That's where we gain our strength from, is our spirit, man. We can gain our strength from our spirit, man. Father, I want to thank you for this night. Father, as George said, this is your service. Father, we want you to have complete control. We want you to have your way, Father God. Lord, we don't want our agendas. Lord, we don't want to be in the way. We want to be out of the way, Father, so you can move, Father, so the King of Glory can come in and move, Father. Father, just have your way tonight, Father. However long the service may be, it's not the length, Father God, that we're looking for. It's the quality and the equity, Father, and the goodness of your word, Father. Speak to us in your word, Father God. Father, I thank you that you can speak to us in 15 minutes, that we need, 30 minutes, that we need, Father God. Father, I thank you that those that are here, Father, Second Mile Christians, Father, they're the ones that are hungry to see you move, Father. They're the anchor, they're the rock in this ministry, Father God. And Father, I thank you for them, Father. Lord, I just pray that you would bless them as they receive your word tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, it is not the size. Did not I say in my word, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst? Did not Jonathan and his armor bearer go up and defeat the army because of my spirit? Did not they defeat the army, saith the Lord? They defeated the army because of my spirit. My spirit, I stand ready to move this day. I stand ready to move, saith the Spirit of God. My arm is not short that it cannot save. I stand ready to deliver. Who will stand in the Lord's way? I say again, who will stand in my way, saith the Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you that it makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. It makes no difference to Him. Makes no difference to Him. I know that it's been a long time coming since we've seen a mighty manifestation of the Spirit of God. And it's been a long time coming, but I want you to get ready for it. There was such a witness this morning when I began to talk about Kirsten and her deliverance. There was such a witness of the Spirit. Why? Because I believe God wants to manifest that witness. I believe He wants to perform that witness in these last days. Why? Because it says here in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Notice it's the same yesterday. The yesterday of God was with Moses. The God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is the same God that we serve today. But yet it's a little bit better because we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched. But we have one that can be touched. We have one that bled and one that died for us. And because He bled and He died for us, we have access to the throne of grace. We have access to the throne of mercy. We can go behind the veil, whereas Moses couldn't go behind the veil. He couldn't look on the face of God Almighty. No man has seen God at any time, but we can go in behind the veil and we can behold the beauty of the Lord, my brother and sister, because of what Jesus did on the cross. We can behold His beauty. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Time changes. Circumstances change. Your husband changes. Your wife changes. Your car is going to change in about 5 years. But God doesn't change, my brother and sister. He can do the same things that He did on the shores of Galilee. He can open the blinded eyes. He can open the deaf deaf ears. He can open the spiritual blinded eyes because He does not change. He is the same, in fact, yesterday, today, and forever. As a matter of fact, He is the Lord of glory. He that shall come will come, and He will not tell you. He's the breaker, glory be to God. It's the anointing that breaks. And it don't only break, it destroys the yokes of bondage, my brother and sister. There are things that are, if it's something's broke, it can be fixed. But if it's destroyed, it cannot be fixed. There are deceptions. There are bondages over people that need to be broken. They need to be destroyed so they cannot be put back together by the enemy's devices. So the proverb can't be true. The dog has returned to his vomit. See, it's an important thing that we allow God to move in us. So those bondages that He shut off of us, that we don't be as the proverb says, the dog has returned to his vomit. We don't go back into the weak and beggarly elements of this world. We don't look back into sin. We don't look back as Lot's wife did, but we look far ahead. We look to what God is going to do. No man, the Bible says, who puts his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. We can't look back. We must expect God to move, and we must expect Him to move mightily. We must come here every service expecting God to do the miraculous. Too many times we kind of hit and miss it. We hit and we expect God to move one week and then the next week is kind of flat. No, we need to come in here and expect God to move mightily. Every week, every Sunday that we come, we need to expect God to move. We need to expect Him to save our loved ones. We need to expect Him to touch our co-workers on the job. We need to expect Him to move on that situation that there seems to be no control over. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord thy God, and I change not, the Scripture says. I'm glad He doesn't change. I'm glad we have a rock that's sure and steadfast. I'm glad we have a God that we can run to in the time of trouble that does not change because of circumstances. Does not change because of the winds or the rains or the seas or life itself because we're storm tossed. I'm glad that we have a rock that we can run to. It says in Proverbs, the righteous run into God and they are saved. Glory be to God. We can run to God with every situation of our life and He'll deliver us. He's a deliverer, my brother and sister. He is a deliverer. He'll deliver you out of that situation you're in. That doubt that you've got, that you've been carrying around all these long years, God wants you to give it to Him. All those questions, all those concerns that you've been carrying. Well, why haven't we seen this and why haven't we seen that? Why don't you give that to God tonight and let God be true and every man a liar? See, God hasn't gone nowhere. He's right where He said He is. He's at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus is the same. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it was not so, I wouldn't tell you. But I go and I prepare a place for you, my brother and sister. And He's up there preparing the glory land for us. He's prepared the streets of gold for us. He's prepared the lion and the lamb to lay down together. He's prepared the poisonous asp to sit up there so they cannot bite us. Why? Because in heaven is exactly how He wanted to be on earth. But it couldn't be because of sin. But there's a day coming when the new Jerusalem's coming down. There's a day coming when Jerusalem is coming down. There's a day coming when Jesus is coming back. When Jesus is coming back, and that we may not see it in our day, and we may. No man knows the time and no man knows the hour. But one thing is certain, there's a generation that's not going to pass away until they see the coming of the Lord. And that's when that nation, that good old nation Israel, became a nation. That generation is not going to pass away, my brother and sister, until all those things are fulfilled in prophecy. And there have been some mighty manifestations of prophecy fulfilled in the Bible. There's been some things that have just stood true in time. There's been some prophetic things that have come to pass. One of them was in Israel being a nation in 1948. There's just so many things. How somebody can't believe in the Bible is beyond me. How somebody can't believe in God is beyond me. How somebody can be an agnostic or an atheist is beyond me. But God's not afraid of the agnostic. He's not afraid of the atheist. He is afraid of the lukewarm Christian sitting in the church. This comfortable, this complacent, that just likes business as usual. Just happy with coming to church and seeing no manifestations and having no accountability. Make it convenient for me so I can get about my business, so I can get home and watch the Bucks play. Get me out, preacher, so I can go watch the Bucks play on my TV. Hey, I'm a football fan too, but this is the Lord's day. And we all, including myself, need to treat it as the Lord's Day. He's a God that doesn't change. His statutes, His laws, they haven't changed. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient. It's an amazing thing. Everything in this Bible, everything in this covenant is on a condition. That doesn't mean God doesn't love us. He loves us unconditionally. But there are ordinances that we must obey. One of them is the B-I-B-L-E. We must obey this book. We must obey everything that it says in this book. We can't pick and choose what we want to obey and what we don't want to obey. We've got to obey it all, my brother and sister, because God doesn't change. I know people change. I know churches change, but God doesn't change. Doctrines change, but God doesn't change. The doctrine of Christ will never change, but the doctrine of man will change, and it has changed over time. We've accounted and forsaken the glory of God for the glory of man. We'd rather have the esteem and the approval of man rather than the glory of God. And yet, Paul and the apostles said that that day would come. We're living in a day where everything's accepted under the banner of Christian. We've got Christian nightclubs. We've got Christian hip-hops. And hey, God wants you to have a good time. But remember, that word Christian stands for something. It stands for Christ-likeness. I remember a time when I was teaching youth, I went to a place in Clearwater that was a nightclub sort of thing and for young people. And I walked in and we walked out. And it's an amazing thing. A man followed us out and he says, "Why are you leaving?" And I says, "Look, man, I don't want to be critical. I don't want to be critical. And he goes, "No, go ahead." I said, "Okay. You asked for it. You asked for it." And I just began to ask him some very questions in love. I did it in love. I says, "You know, the world does this. I don't think we as Christians need to be imitating the world. We need to be imitating Christ. We have a lot of drawing cards in the church, you know, come this Sunday because so-and-so speaker is going to be here. Come this Sunday because we're going to have a big water slide after the church, after service for all the young people. Come to the night of joy. Hey, get all your friends together. Bring them to the night of joy. It'll be a witness until hogwash." I've seen it all, my brother and sister. I've heard it all. And as I begin to talk to this man, and he goes, you're pretty radical. And I says, "Yeah, nothing wrong being radical." And I had, let's see, there was Jessica there. There was some other young people there. I don't even remember if Mike was there or not. But we walked in and I walked out. And when I walked out, everybody else walked out with me because they knew I was leaving. The bus was leaving. My bus was leaving because I wanted to represent God's kingdom. And I didn't believe that was representing His kingdom because it was supposed to be a youthful event to come and worship God. And I just don't see us worshiping God when the lights are dark. Everybody's got wine glasses full of water because, you know, we can't have wine. So we got to imitate and use water. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. So as I begin to talk to this young man, and he began to talk to me, we begin to converse, and I say, "Look, I'm not here to criticize. I just don't feel it's right for me and my young people. I have to be accountable for them. I've got to stand before God before them. You don't, so don't criticize me because I feel I'm doing what's right, and I won't criticize you, even though I think it's wrong. I believe I can back it up in Scripture. I believe if we did a study on it, we could do it wrong because we don't need to imitate the world. Matter of fact, the Scripture says we need to come out of her. We need to come out of Babylon. We don't need to be like the world. We need to be apart from the world. We need to be a separate society, if you would say. A separate society that's true to God. A separate society that loves the statutes, the laws, and the ordinances of God. Even if it means ridiculing, persecution, being laughed at. Because we serve God and we love Him and He loves us. You're going to get laughed at on the job because of not doing certain things. That's okay. Let them laugh at you. There'll be some trouble come their way. They'll want you to pray. They'll want you to pray. They'll want you to pray for their sorry old hide. And God is merciful. And God wants to save their sorry old hide. But it's time that we, the church, come out of Babylon. Come out from among them, the scripture says in Corinthians, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. See, we want God to be our Father, but we don't want to do everything He's commanded us to do. I told you a few minutes ago, the Lord doesn't change. To us, in this congregation of assemblies, God has brought that back to us time and time again. Come out from among her and be ye separate. Why? Because He's got a special plan for us. He's got a purpose for us that is going to involve absolute separation from the world, from man, from government. And it's going to be absolute dependence on God Almighty. It's going to be absolute dependence on Him. And we can't be dependent on a world society and a world government. We need to depend on His government and His society and His Holy Spirit and His law of grace. That is what we need to depend on and nothing else. We've got church services today that look like living room sets. They've got TVs, couches, flip-flops. There is no respect and honor for the Lord. Yet, you go to a Muslim synagogue or a Buddha synagogue, and you're going to find absolute respect for their God, absolute honor for their God. They're going to bow before it 4 to 5, 6, 7 hours. And yet we can't get people to come to the house of God for an hour, 2 hours without them complaining. Without them feeling their inconvenience because we don't have a Sunday night service. And God forbid we have a Wednesday night service. Because see, then we're going to have to cancel the Sunday night service. I know how our pastor feels on that, and y'all know how I feel on that. We disagree on that, and that's okay. It's okay for us to disagree. Paul and Barnabas disagreed. They still loved one another. Well, you can still love somebody and have a disagreement. Thank you for the amen. I can still love my wife, and we can still have a disagreement. How many husbands and wives have disagreements but still love each other? We still love one another. We still have disagreements. We're going to have disagreements because we're human. We're human. I believe if we want revival, then we need to have the doors open every chance we can for revival to happen. I mean, if we look at the history of Brownsville and their revival, they had church 7 days a week. They had revival. They had a mighty manifestation of the move of God. And yet we complain and have members in our church here that complain about a Wednesday night service. And hey, if you've complained about it, I'm not calling you on the carpet. I'm using it as an illustration. Let me finish. Hear me out. I know we get tired. I know some of you wouldn't be able to make it on Wednesday night if we had a Wednesday night service because you get home from work so late. I understand that. But I believe when God begins to work on your heart, you'll come late. You'll come late because you'll want to see what's going on. God forbid we have a Wednesday night service and Kirsten get healed on a Wednesday night and you miss it. God forbid that happen. Because see, God always seems to move when there's a few in number. Because the pure in faith get together and they just begin to believe God. They just begin to believe God. They just begin to believe that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He doesn't change. I change. We've all changed. We've all kind of gotten a little stagnant, a little complacent in our little assembly here. I mean, that's why we can't find people to mow, because we become stagnant and we become complacent. Well, somebody else will get it. And hey, I'm not complaining. I'm just stating the facts. We change because we're human. And God calls us off the carpet every time. I don't know why He uses me to do it, but He does. Why, Lord? Why? I'll ask you later, Father. Jesus doesn't change. We change every day. We get older, we get grayer, lose more hair. We change every day. But God doesn't change. God doesn't change. And it's important that we come together more and more and more. And hey, if we can't make it here, we should be able to make it to our houses. There are some of us that live close enough, but we could get together if need be. we could get together if need be. We could put off some of the stuff and quit making some of the excuses that we make and just get together. And as you said, George, this morning, love one another. Because I need you as my brother, as my sister. You need me as your brother. We're in this thing together. We can't say the hand, can't say the foot, I don't need you. Can't say it's okay to have Brother Mike and it's not okay to have Brother Terry. That's hypocrisy. We need everybody that calls themselves to this church. Everyone that says this is their home church, we need you. We need you whenever you can be here. We need you, and the pastor needs you here. The pastor needs your support, and your support is not only finances, it's you being here. Wow, I never thought I'd say that, but moving right along. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't get all quiet on me now. It's okay. God loves us. He's stern with us sometimes, but He still loves us. He always does it in love. That's one thing I can say about God. He may call us on the carpet, but He loves us. And it's because He loves us that He chastens us, my brother and sister. It's because He points out those areas in our life that we know we've let slip. We know we've fallen flat on our face, but yet we just don't do anything about it. And that's what He wants us to change. He wants us to do something about it. He wants us to make ourselves available to Him, for Him, so we can work together. So we can see this mighty move of God. So we can see this move of God that He wants to send us. I'm telling you, He wants to send us a move of God. I'm telling you, He wants to send us a move of God. Not a move like we've seen in the past, but a move of the sovereign Spirit of God. Where we get on our face if need be, and we repent of the things that we've done wrong. And we begin to impact and make a difference in our family members' lives and the co-workers on our jobs and everywhere we go in the convenience store. They begin to ask, what's different about you? Well, how do you have that peace when there's such turmoil? Hallelujah. Joshua 2:11 says this, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. See, we need to be declaring that He is God, my brother and sister. We need to have some manifestations of the Spirit of God where the heathen says our God is God. We go in for a CAT scan or whatever we might have to go in, and there might be something there, but the church might get together and pray and it disappear and it dissolve because He is God, my brother and sister, and He doesn't change. He's God. I said it this morning. He's God in the valley. He's God in the mountaintop. He's still God. He doesn't change. Because you're tired when you come home, He doesn't change. When I come home tired, He doesn't change. Doesn't change. He's still God. And just because there's a few of us doesn't mean He can't move. We can see that in the life of Joshua and his armor bearer. Makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. Why? Because they were in absolute agreement. They put a fleece out there before the Lord. I'm sorry, Jonathan and his armor bearer. The Lord will correct it. Jonathan and his armor bearer. They got an agreement. And that's why it's so important that we become in agreement. That's why it's so important that we come together and we come in an agreement. That's why it's important that we come to church so God can melt away those areas in our life that try to hinder that agreement. One of them is pride. Oh, I'm not doing this because they said so. I don't feel I have to do that. Because, I mean, it's just Sister Sherry saying it. It's nothing in the Bible about it. Nothing about nothing. We should love one another enough and have a sense of the Spirit of God enough to know when God is speaking through our brothers and sisters. And sometimes it's painful. And sometimes it hurts. But if it's true, we need to embrace it. And we need to ask God to help us. Because He doesn't change. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And I'm telling you right now, the majority of us that are in here tonight, God knows. We're His. I can honestly say that we're His. We're His. We've been sealed until the day of redemption. We've been bought with a price. We are not our own. You've heard it said for years, I'm my own man. I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. No, I'm not. We're not our own, my brethren. We've been bought with a price. We've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Can't go and do my own thing, and you can't either. Can't go and have your way, and I can't have my way. It's got to be God's way. God's way. God's way or no way, my brother and sister. And I believe that's how our pastor feels. It's got to be God's way for this church or no way. God's way on whether we stay here and build or no way. God's way on whether we go across town and have another building. It's got to be God's way. Not my way, not what I think, not what you think. It's got to be what the Spirit of God says to us. And you know what? He's led us here. And He's going to continue to lead us on. Because He doesn't change. How we made it through the hotels, I don't know, my brother and sister. How we made it through the hotels, I'm never going to know. How I made it through the hotels, I don't really honestly know, but by the grace of God. Because we only had Sunday morning service. And you all know that there have been many Sundays when I first got into management, I wasn't there. And I was spiritually drained. I was spiritually dying. I said, God, you got to get us a building. You got to do something because I need Sunday night service. I need Sunday night service. I'm not so super spiritual that I don't need to be in the house of God. And neither are you. We need one another. You know why it's so important we come to church? Because we forget about the world. We forget about everything that's troubling us. We get a fresh touch of God. God speaks to our heart. We have a fresh vision because we've heard from the man or the woman of God. They've given us that clear vision, that clear word. And because of that clear vision and that clear word, we can go back to our homes and we can focus until it's time, you know, for a couple days and life itself takes its toll and takes a strain on us. And then we come back to God's house and God speaks to us again with clarity and with vision. That's why some of these people that can just say, I can only go to Sunday morning service, I don't know how they live. I don't know how they make it. Because I'm going to be quite honest, I would be backslidden within a month if it was me. I'm being brutally honest. If it was me, I'd be backslidden because I need the Word of God. I need Him to feed my spirit. Yeah, we can watch TV, but it's not the same. Thank you. It's not the same. Not the same. It doesn't have the same effect. It doesn't have the same impact as it does when we're here together in this assembly. There's an impact on the Word of God. There's a touch on God's Word when we're together, when we assemble together to hear what He's got to say. There's a manifestation, a dynamic that He puts on the Word that's unlike any other. That's why this church is unique. Thank God it's unique. Thank God it's unique. Thank God it's stayed the same course. It's stayed on the truth of the gospel. Thank God that it's allowed, our pastors allowed God to change him and to change her. To be better ministers of the gospel. I believe his latter half is going to be greater. than the former. I believe we're on the verge of seeing that. I believe, just as I believe we're on the verge of seeing cursed and healed, I believe we're on the verge of seeing breakthroughs in this ministry like we've never seen before. I believe there are going to be people come alongside of us and begin to catch